Well, the famous magician, Paul Daniels, developed a catchphrase to help handle hecklers in the clubs where he started out his craft. You'll like this. Not a lot, but you'll like it. The story of Jesus rising from the dead has a certain magical ring to it. Some people have used that to try and dismiss it. It didn't really happen, they say. It was just a conjuring trick, an optical illusion. But even without making that fatal and very daft move, there's something amazing about what happened. It wows us. It's a story that it's hard not to like. But for many people, their response goes no deeper than the awe you feel when you've watched a good magic trick. They like the story, not a lot, but they like it. People have explained the events of the first Easter in all kinds of ways. But as we follow Matthew's account, seen through the eyes of two women who both happen to be called Mary, we see that we aren't left the option of liking it, but not a lot. By the way, in those days, the testimony of women was not admissible in court. If Matthew had invented this story, he would never have put two women in there as his star eyewitnesses. These two women watched Jesus die, chapter 27, verse 56. They saw him buried, chapter 27, verse 61. And then on Sunday morning, they go to visit the grave. Matthew records the three surprises in store for them, each bigger than the one before. And he also records how they respond to all of these shocks, because he wants to hold these women up as examples for us as we work out how we will respond. So let's go with these two women to the tomb and relive their surprises. Surprise number one. As the women go to the tomb, they have their first surprise. They see an angel come down from heaven. That angel rolls back the stone that was covering the entrance to the tomb. That stone was enormous and it was heavy, and the angel rolled it uphill. And we're told what the angel looked like. His appearance was like lightning. His clothing was white, but so white it was like snow. We didn't have any snow this winter. Our children, for three, were greatly disappointed at that. Some of you may have been relieved to have a winter off after the depths and drifts of the previous few winters. But you know the old TV adverts about washing clothes whiter than white? Take the whitest garment you've got at home, perhaps one you've just bought, it hasn't even yet been through the machine, and place it on freshly fallen snow. It looks filthy. This angel's clothing made the snow look dirty. That is how white his clothes were. He was so bright, you had to shield your eyes to look at him or his clothing. Matthew has a reason for telling us about the brightness. The description combines two images from the Old Testament book of Daniel. One a description of God, and the other a description of a messenger from God. Chapter 7 and chapter 11 of Daniel. And the conclusion would have been clear. The man they saw was God's personal representative, come down from God himself. So this was their first surprise. God opens the tomb. God opens the tomb. How did they respond? Well, put yourself in their shoes just for a minute. They are going to visit the grave of someone they loved. Many of you have done just that. You take flowers. You know what you're expecting to find. The biggest surprise might be that someone had very kindly done some weeding for you. You would never be expecting anything like this. The women were terrified. We know that because they are twice told not to be afraid. The Roman army was a disciplined fighting force, hardly rivaled since. The trained soldiers left to guard the tomb were so terrified at the sight of what they saw that they passed out on the spot. Just enjoy the irony of this for a moment with me. The soldiers were supposed to be guarding a corpse. Matthew tells us that they became like dead men, while the corpse they should have been guarding has actually come back to life. That was the women's first response, and it was entirely understandable. They felt fear. If we don't feel some fear at these events, I wonder if we're over-familiar with the story. Do you know it just too well? It's easy with a story we know so well to stop actually thinking about what it was that happened. We hear this story as though it were nothing more unusual than a story about someone catching the number 41 bus and having to stand for 6 stops before they managed to get a seat. What happened that day filled the women with fear and terrified the guards. That's because this kind of thing doesn't just happen. It is not normal for God to send a personal delegate dressed so brightly you have to look away, so strong he can roll a heavy stone uphill to open a dead man's tomb so everyone can see it's empty. This does not happen every day. And if that doesn't give you a hollow feeling in the pit of your stomach, I would love to know after the service what happens to you in a normal week. But for these two women, the morning was only just beginning. There could have been a number of explanations for that empty tomb. Stolen, moved to another tomb, exhumed for post-mortem. Their second surprise came when the angel told them what had actually happened. The explanation he gives is the one they had never dreamt possible. They didn't think it could be done, and even if it could, it had never crossed their minds it would be done. The angel tells them, verse 6, "He is not here. He is risen," just as he said. Dead men stay dead. They stay in tombs. That's where they belong. But not Jesus. Jesus is risen. He is not in the tomb. He's alive. He's back. That was their second surprise. The angel explains that Jesus is risen. The angel explains that Jesus is risen. And their response to that surprise? Well, they go and tell the disciples the news just as they were told to. They're still afraid. But now, at verse 8, with that fear is a great joy. That is their response. They are full of joy. Great joy. The stone that sealed the tomb was a great stone. Now the women are filled with great joy. They weren't a little bit happy. They didn't feel that their morning had had a bit of a pickup after the bad weekend. They were over the moon, exuberant, excited, thrilled, full of joy. And as we go with them in their mind's eye to the tomb, we should feel a bit of that too. Just think about it for a moment. The Jesus we love is alive. We can know him for ourselves. The forgiveness that he died on the cross to secure has been won. Death itself has been defeated. When Jesus was on the earth, there were glimpses into a life of perfect health and fullness of life. But now we know that those were just the beginning. Jesus is alive. As well as giving us a hollow feeling of fear, because those kinds of things just don't happen, the first Easter should give us butterflies down there because of the excitement that is waiting to burst out. They were full of joy, and people who know us should say that so are we. What a morning these women are having, but it still isn't over. There's one last surprise for them, and it's the biggest one yet. They do as they are told. They go to find Jesus' other disciples and to tell them the good news. They were expecting that the disciples would go to Galilee, and there they would meet Jesus. And if the women were lucky, they might get to meet him too. On their way to the other disciples, something happens that I'm sure they weren't expecting. And if we were reading this for the first time, neither would we. Jesus meets them in person. And they respond by falling down in worship. They fall down in worship. They fall on the ground. They grab his feet. They worship him as their Lord and their God. What do you do in their situation? The last they saw Jesus, he was being laid out in a tomb. And suddenly you bump into him and he greets you with the ordinary word for hello of the time. As though he'd never been away. You don't just witter on about nothing in particular with him. He's just been through death and come back from death victorious. He must be somebody absolutely extraordinary. He doesn't deserve a few minutes of their time and some idle chat. He deserves everything. He is everything. So they fall down and they worship because it is the only thing you can do. The risen Jesus wants to meet with us as well. He wants us to fall down in worship. He wants us to place our life in his hands. He wants us to put ourselves at his disposal. We fall down in worship. The question is, how will you respond to these shocking and amazing events? Matthew presents a choice. The two Marys offer us one option. The other is modelled by the guards. They shared with the women the encounter with the angel. They shared the sense of fear. But that is where their paths diverge. They run away. Instead of spreading the most wonderful news that humanity has ever known, they ran away in the opposite direction to cook up a story to make sure people didn't find out what had happened. What they did was extraordinarily risky. They admitted falling asleep on duty. This could lead them to disciplinary action, to court-martial, to losing their jobs, to losing their lives, quite probably. Probably by crucifixion. To think they saw what took place, but preferred those risks to accepting that Jesus really was alive. Perhaps they realised that if Jesus really was alive, he would need to be worshipped. He would have the right to the keys of their lives. It would change everything. And that's too much to us. Perhaps one or two of us even do that. Maybe we listen to the eyewitness testimony of Mary and Mary, and we can see the implications for our lives if it's true. And so we don't want to look too closely. We'll go away from the service and deliberately forget what we've just heard, because we daren't reach the conclusion that it's true. There's a better response. There is no option to like Jesus, but not a lot. We either run away from him to hide the truth, or we run to tell others, as these women did. Surprise number one for them was that God opened the tomb, and they responded with understandable fear. Surprise number two was that the angel explained that Jesus was risen, and their response was to be full of joy. Surprise number three was when Jesus met them in person, and their response was to fall down in worship. And then they spread the good news. What's your response? Why don't you tell someone this week that the tomb was empty because Jesus is alive?